This is Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's podcast is part two of the coffee and tea event held here at Clayton Bradley Academy with Dr. Linda Jordan. Dr. Linda Jordan is a consultant of ours and works with our teachers on curriculum and making sure that we're holding to the brain-based model that we love here at Clayton Bradley Academy. So at this time, we rejoin the conversation that Dr. Linda Jordan was having at our coffee and tea event around AI and other social media platforms and things that we need to be aware of with our students. So we join the podcast now with Dr. Linda Jordan.
We have to start to say, how do we use this? So what do we look at for what we do with AI in the classroom and personal? It's interesting, on the beginning of this, you'll have seen Thomas Hawkins, who is our company's AI expert. And it's interesting that he has no personal accounts that hook to the internet. None. He said, no, I can't take the chance. Do you have a personal account hooked to the internet? I do. I probably have more than one. It's like, oh my goodness. You just need to know that it is possible for us to think about our privacy and our ethics. Because if I can generate something of someone playing basketball or speaking German, do you think a middle school or high school or even elementary kid might get mad at a friend or a teacher and generate something of them doing something not accurate? Why did I say, is it real or not real? Will you know if that's the real thing? It's going to be hard to tell. So we have to teach our kids, no, you don't auto-generate your peers, your teachers, your colleagues, the people you work with, because that puts doubt in people's mind if they see it and they think, oh, maybe that is true, when it's not. We have to teach our kids the ethics. We also have to teach them the privacy. So I am 32 years old. I wish. No, not really. I'm 32 years old, and I sign up for a new job, and I write into that job, no, I'm not a smoker, never smoked in my life, because I want the insurance. And they just check old social media accounts, and I am 16 with a cigarette in my hand. I have now lied, and I'm also have been a smoker. They don't have to insure you. What's on your personal account? I will tell you, working in admissions at Hope College, we would get, you can say, well, they can't get in, I have privacy. No, I have a way to get into anybody's account. And so we would get into accounts. By the way, when you sign up for a job application and when you sign up for college entrance, in the fine print, it says that they have permission to get into any of your social media. I'm in the education department, and there is a kid at 16 on their knees having a beer poured down their throat. Guess what we say about college admittance? Sorry. We don't want that to represent our college. You think you want to be a teacher? Your students will find this? Sorry, we're not taking you. When I talk about ethics, when I talk about privacy, we've got to think about what they do. So they're at a party, and they take a picture of some kids doing something inappropriate and they post it online. Do you know that they can be labeled as a child sex predator for the rest of their lives? Because they are now soliciting child porn. We need to understand the ethics behind this. We need to understand and help our kids understand this is not the Wild West. This is not free game. We must teach you what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. But here's the problem. 98% of adults will put things on the internet in the privacy of their home that they would never say to a person's face. And we have an adult, fully developed brain. Now let's take a teenager who's only half-baked. Oh my gosh. Can you see why we need to monitor? What have I already said that's made you go, I wonder, ooh, I didn't think about that. Just have a quick 20, 30 second discussion. We will make this PowerPoint available to you, and you need to know it's interactive. So like when you get to this and it talks about digital citizenship, every single one of these, when you click to, will take you to a link. So thinking about, as we think about digital citizens, we have to just think about digital commerce. Do our students understand they can wipe out a ton of money in like 10 minutes on Amazon? Right? And because, you know, you're not having to carry it around the store and think about it and check it out. It's just like, boom, it's in your basket and you bought. by now, don't even have to fill anything else out. Do they understand how easy it is to spend a ton of money quick? Do you understand what that can be? Have we taught them how important downtime is? You live in one of the most beautiful places on earth, the Great Smoky Mountains. I mean, every time I come, I'm always just like, look, I mean, we've got to enjoy what's around us, and we all need downtime. Every single program, every single app developer has used this same formula to develop it as the formula for addiction, because they want you addicted. The more you use it, the longer the advertisers will pay them more money. And by the way, I have yet to hear an app developer say, I absolutely will not allow my children on the internet. They developed them and they won't let their families on. What does that say about ours? Is that we know it is the exact same formula. It's addiction. And so we have to learn to have our kids have downtime. And we need to say, you know, we're going to go for a bike ride. We're going to go for a walk. We're going to go play ball. We're going to go, you know, up to Tremont, Wesley Woods. We're going to go up to Cades Cove. I mean, there are so many we're going to go walk your green belt. I mean, there's so many things to do that we've got to have this downtime. So we have to have this time that we're just experiencing the great outdoors, that we're experiencing, you know, just a chance to get down and relax. We've got to teach etiquette. So how do we do that? It's one of the most incredible things you do here at CBA. Like, your ninth graders learn how to write emails to adults. It's part of the capstone that they're going to eventually get to, that they know how to do that. Why is that important? Because I even teach doctoral classes still that obviously these adults didn't get any email etiquette. It's like, oh my gosh, you can't say that. Whoa. So do they have etiquette about how and what we should say on this device? Do we know, you know what, this is addicting? You know, how do we help with that whole health issue of what that does? It's about integrity. You know what? Once again, I can use it for good or evil. Once again, I can create incredible images to make as a part of my project, or I can use it in the wrong way. Do we have digital literacy and even just understand how all of this works? Do you know how to read a URL? So if I'm looking at a URL, which is, you know, the code at the top, that's where you start to see if you're being phishing or scammed. Because, you know, the ad says that this is from, you know, so-and-so. And you've all got those. I mean, you know, I'm always getting something from Huntington Bank or Wells Fargo, and it's like, I don't have an account in either one of those places. Wait a minute, you know, why are you telling me I'm overdrawn and you need my Social Security number? But then when you look up at the thing, it is not a Wells Fargo. Well, I don't have the account, but it's not from either one of those. It's a phishing scam. Have we taught them how to read all of those things and understand that you're asking for something inappropriate? Have we taught the privacy? How do you protect yourself? What actually goes up there? What do we allow other people to put up? How do we protect our privacy, our information, so that it's not going to come back to get us in the future? What's our responsibility? And then all of that security stuff of how do we take care of that? And I know for me, I mean, I have a book, probably shouldn't be in a book, but it's got like all my passwords. The company makes me change like 3 passwords every month, and it's not the same day, so I have to write them down because I just can't keep remembering which I've changed to what. And they can't be the same, and they can't be anything you've had. And I think, what a pain. But it's also keeping everything secure. So, you know, will we eventually probably have something better? Probably. But in the meantime, do our kids understand that security? Do they understand what can happen with this information? So we have lots of places to go to. The other one to go to is Common Sense Media. Common Sense Media has great resources for parents, great resources for them to look at and say, let's start this conversation. If you bury your head in the sand, your kids did not. We have this obligation to show them. Once again, students get around all detectors. All they have to do is put in that, they just forgot to put in that last sentence. You can't recognize this. How are kids using this? We can use this in positive ways, like this particular AI program creates quizzes, does all kinds of things. AnswerPro does this as well. But here's some things that are interesting, things like virtual professor. This kid wonders why they're the only one showing up. They're the only one showing up because they're the only one that haven't figured out that everything's already online. Don't go to class. Just stay home. Watch it. We know that there's programs. Where's Courseology? In Courseology, it does that as well. SmartSolve is really interesting because it actually, if the professor has posted the quiz online anywhere, the kids can take the quiz. There's an example in here of a student who has actually taken the quiz at 100%, of course, before the teachers even asked the kids to get on. These are all out there. They're free. And our, how did we learn about all of these? Is we talked to high school kids. I'm not giving you an example that a high school kid hasn't given us. This is not, you know, a bunch of adults sitting around. These are kids, you know, talking when you look at this. So, you know, we start to say, oh my gosh, you know, what are we going to do? Well, it's time to have discussions with kids. And, you know, we have this thing called VUCA. And what we say is we have to be really certain with our kids. You know, this is volatile. You know what? This stuff is different. And I can't react in a negative way because, you know, I need to be reacting to my kids and, hey, you know, let's figure out how to use this for good. Let's figure out how this gets to be better. But here it is uncertain. You saw how many new programs in 90 days. I don't even want to know what's going to happen by Christmas. I mean, this is moving at such a fast speed. And now we seem to be in a war with other countries, right? All over AI. So it is moving incredibly quickly. This is complex. This is complicated. We thought COVID was hard. I'm here to tell you this is like, whoa, how do we sort this out? What do we do? What do we do as parents? What do we do as consumers? What do we do as business people? You know, how do we use this? Because it's really ambiguous. It's hard to understand. You, many of you before this may not have even heard language model versus generative model. You hadn't heard hallucination. It is about, this is moving so fast, it seems like, how do I get my fingers wrapped around it, and it's already moved on to something else. So, you know, what do we do with that? So what we think is, we start to look at what's research saying. If you have not read Anxious Generation, you must. It's good, isn't it? I mean, it shows the rise of the mental health issue with the rise of the internet. It talks about that our kids, our girls, are very into the social media. And there are more than 1,000 social media accounts and programs. And they have told you, yes, here is my Facebook, here is my Instagram, but they're on something else. They're on Tumblr, they're on Vine, they're on one of the other 1,000. And do you know that the average teenager has 3 phones? 3 phones. Because I can buy a burner phone at Target for almost nothing and put points on it. So go ahead and take my phone. But you have to have digital ethics so they know what to do with it. Because guess what? They got a backup. They got another phone you don't even know about. And you say, oh, not my kid? I'm telling you, I interview high school kids all the time. And they just get this smile. And everybody comes clean. Yeah, I have 2 phones. So, they don't tell you that, do they? Here's the thing. We need to pay attention. Our girls are so into the social media. By the way, the average girl gets 600 notifications a day. Do you think that takes their brain off of what they're thinking about? Do you think it helps them stay in the now and the present? It's always about that works. All of us have our phones out. Mine's right there. But you know what? If my phone is not off and it dinged during the middle of my presentation, even though you know your phone is off or in your purse, every single one of you would be distracted from me and go, oh, was that my phone? Oh, you know, I wonder if somebody is trying to reach me. And see, you just lost wherever we were in the present. It's about when they are in them, they are constantly being distracted. For our boys, an Anxious Generation talks about 2 things, violent video games and pornography. The 2 things that our kids are getting exposed to. 100% of our children by age 11 have been propositioned and seen pornography on the internet. That probably means almost all your kids. But they're not talking to you about it, are they? Because see, those people are good. They get the brain research. They know how to talk to these kids to tell them not to tell you. You got to know what they're doing. So looking at Anxious Generation, it talks about these kids are being raised in a phone generation, a screen generation versus a play. Think about what you learned about play. You learned how to problem solve. You learned creativity. You were using your whole body. Crossing the midline as a child develops both hemispheres to be able to work together. When that does not happen, when we don't get that, the brain isn't ready to read. So having a little kid play catch, play outdoors, becomes critical. It becomes we need to have that time to get physical exercise and to get outdoors if you expect that brain to develop well. But in the name of security, stranger danger, we don't let kids outside when actually there's not much stranger danger. Almost most kidnappings and attacks are by somebody the kids know. So we need to find a way to start to say, you know what, we don't have play anymore. These kids don't play. It's in play that your brain learns all those problem-solving things. We see kids, when you talk about, you know, what is play, you know, I sit and play my video game. I sit and just am enwrapped in screen time. And the negative, especially with our girls with body image. I can get on with filters and I can be 30 pounds lighter. My hair looks perfect. I don't have any zits. I'm good. But then, see, I have to walk into school. And when I walk into school, they go, that's not you. What's wrong with you? Why sometimes do kids want to not go to school? You're lucky you're at CBA. Do you know right now I'm spending most of my time dealing with absenteeism across the United States. Today, 30% of the kids are not in school. They're not showing up. Why bother? Because it's not real. They don't have what you have. You have real life applications. But our kids are choosing to be disengaged. They're choosing not to be involved. And we need to make sure we understand that it could be something as simple as body image. Some of the solutions our kids need on structured play. They need a time to just go mess around with stuff. When I was a kid, we invented our own games. I lived on an island and there were only three kids. We played baseball. We did not have uniforms. I did not have a referee. We did not have 11 players. You invented your own game. But see, now these kids, if I'm going to play baseball, I need an adult uniform, I need an adult referee, I need everything played by adult rules. And these kids never get to just play. Unstructured play, unstructured time is important. We've got to limit their screen time, set boundaries. I know I was asked this before, you know, gosh, they spend a lot of time at school on screen time. They absolutely do, but I didn't hear people complaining about how much time they spent in books. It's really just another avenue. It's just another way. You would never say, schools, I don't want you to have my kid's nose in a book. Well, the book is just electronic. So it's not really the screen that's the issue. It's the internet. It's when we get into the internet. If I'm playing a game like Minecraft, which is connected to the whole world, and you come by and go, yep, they're playing Minecraft. Do you have a set of headphones on and hear what people are saying to them? Because I guarantee that's open to the whole world. There are predators talking to your kids, not about Minecraft. And that's been recorded over and over again. What we know is we need to pay attention. Now, when you get this, there's two resources for parents that just really talk about things parents can do around the idea of this anxious generation. But see, one time we thought smoking was just fine. And then we learned it wasn't, and we did something about it. It's going to be the same thing with the internet. We're going to look back and say, why did we allow this to happen? But you know what? We changed it, and we can change this. We don't let kids legally have alcohol till they're 21. We have to follow the current laws that our kids are not supposed to be on any of those social medias till they're 13. That's the law. And when you signed up, that was what they said. But you know what? We're not enforcing that. And as parents, we're not enforcing that. Are we making sure that we're thinking about, just like the cigarettes, this is bad for you. Probably don't need to expose you to it. I hope I didn't scare you to death. But I also, there's a piece of me that hopes, there's also a piece of me that I hope I did a little.
You did.
Because you know what, I think as parents, we've just got to start to be parents. We've got to step in and say, listen, you know, my kid's going to really fight this. My kid's going to say, yeah, you know why? They're addicted. And when they're addicted, we know people have to go through withdrawals. In Anxious Generation, it talks about those kids. If the parents can sustain the time it takes to get them through that, and it's going to be ugly. But you know what? The end result is we have great kids. And so we just have to now take the parent role and say, what's going on? How is this actually working? So I hope this has given you some ideas. You need to know that you are so unbelievably fortunate. You have Bill Daggett as an advisor. We were on the phone with him yesterday for an hour here with all your leadership. You have the opportunity to stay on this cutting edge of what's going on. You have the ability to start to say, we are a STEM school. We know digital is important, but how do we do that in a good way? So hopefully today just started you thinking about, I just need to be informed. Now, let's not ban it because your kids have another phone. They're going to get it another way. How do I teach them to use it appropriately? Because we've done that with pencils, right? We can do it with this as well.
This has been the Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. If you'd like to find out more about our school, you can visit our webpage at www.claytonbradleyacademy.org, or you can find us on social media sites at Clayton Bradley Academy or at CBA STEM. We hope you have a wonderful day.